Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels. That's a new book. It's by Stephen Black of First Stone Ministries, firststone.org. Also, the name of his book, the website is freedomrealized.org. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now Stephen Black joins us to talk about this. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Tell us about your background.
Well, I have spent the last 25 years in full-time pastoral care at First Stone Ministries, helping people overcome sexual and relational brokenness, primarily in the area of overcoming all things LGBT and Q. And so doing that, and then also because of that, then you deal with lots of other relational brokenness issues. So I've been doing that for the last 25 years.
Hmm. Okay, tell us about your own personal background.
Yeah, I came out, the reason for the book, I came out of homosexuality in 1983, so I've been walking with the Lord almost 35 years full-time. And during that, before giving my life completely over to Christ, I had lived gay identified for 8 years, and I had this crisis happen a year and a half before actually giving my life to Christ. My little brother died. It started making me think about eternity, and as a result of that, I started crying out to God. I'd been raised as a Catholic in parochial school, and so I knew about God, but I didn't have a real relationship with Him. And then I met these people, and they were in love with Jesus. I had been partying with a friend, and we went to their house, and all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit came over me. I didn't know that's what it was, but he spoke to me that night in February of 1983, and he said, "If you do not accept me tonight, you're going to die." And most of the people don't remember, but in 1983, in the summer of that year, Oklahoma City started experiencing all these men that were having a mysterious disease, and they called it GRID on the news, and they were dying of HIV-related illnesses. And so I really know that the Lord spared my life that night in coming out of homosexuality. And that night, that girl asked me, she said, "Well, after I'd given my life and prayed with these people, are you going to be gay anymore?" And I thought, you know, I guess it means whatever Jesus has for me. And so that night I went home, got the big Douay version of the Bible out and opened it, and I prayed over it. And I flipped it open, and right there I saw laws on sexual immorality, and I saw in Leviticus that what the priest had told me, you know, I was born this way and all the more reason to go to Mass and that it was okay to be gay, was all a lie. And so that night I surrendered my life to Jesus and got involved in a Bible-believing church that was actually experiencing revival, and I've never been the same.
Wow. And I remember that GRID, which it stood for Gay-Related Immunodeficiency Syndrome, or whatever. And then later they just changed it to Acquired Immunodeficiency Syndrome. So, yeah, very interesting. So, and when did you start getting involved in ministry to help people that, you know, feel like they have unwanted same-sex attractions?
Well, within 3 months of being radically saved, and I say radically because I've been ministering to men for a long time, over 30 years, and what happened to me doesn't generally happen to a lot of people, which is the sexual addiction was immediately broken from my life, and I was a part of this revival movement and the fullness movement called in the Southern Baptist Church, and they were experiencing actually real revival. And so really over the last 30 years I've been doing ministry, but the first few years I had to really get some healing in my own life, and I went through intensive counseling and discipleship care and some inner healing ministries, and really dealt with all of the causality of my childhood sexual abuse and the traumas that I had gone through, and resolved those issues. And then lo and behold, a year and a half into that, I met the woman that I would marry, and we married a year and a half later. And so I've been married for 31 years to Robin, and we have 3 adult children and 3 grandchildren.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Hey, and being a grandparent is fantastic. It's better than what people think and say.
It is. There's a reason why they call them grandchildren, because it's grand.
That's very true. Okay, so let me ask you this. There's obviously a lot of pushback on the idea that people can change, that homosexuals can change. So somebody, you know, involved in the pushback might say, well, okay, let's be honest. Either Stephen never really was gay, or he's just fooling himself, and the day will come back that, you know, he returns to that lifestyle. What are your thoughts?
Well, what's interesting about that is it's not just me. There are literally hundreds of other people. In the book, there are 16 other leaders who have been doing ministry for over 20 years, helping people overcome homosexuality, and all of them, they themselves at one time lived gay identified. And so, you know, the book has that offering, but then the book also has the offering of a survey that conclusively shows over 1,200 client folders over 25 years, we were able to make contact to 500 people, and 185 of them finally filled out the survey. And the conclusion of the survey showed that more than 70% of the people that once thought they were gay or same-sex attracted go on to live a life without labels. They live a life surrendered to Christ. So it's not just me. It is literally hundreds and thousands of other people that at one time believed they were either same-sex attracted or lived gay-identified that have come out of that lifestyle.
Wow. So how do you feel about the way the culture just drums this issue, you know, to us at every stoke? I mean, every movie, well, not every movie, but, you know, many movies, many sure. television programs, many songs, even laws sometimes, etc.
Yeah, it's indicative of a culture that has rejected God. I mean, we've taken prayer out of schools. We think it's okay to, you know, kill the unborn, and, you know, the sexual revolution is evolving into more and more of a broken place. And so this particular issue has become political. And that's what a lot of people need to understand is, matter of fact, I mean, the science is on our side with the Atlanta Journal report that came out last year with Dr. McHugh and other doctors.
Okay, wait. Most of us do not know about that. Please tell us some details here, if you would.
Oh, yeah. There's the Journal on Sexuality and Gender came out last year at the Atlantis report, and that conclusively reveals there is no gay gene. And so, and that, there's,
you know,
a much
I never heard
higher
that. I'm knowledgeable about, you know, I try and keep up with the news and so forth, and I'm very attuned to even conservative media, and somehow that particular story just, you know, passed me by. Of course, I don't believe that gays were born that way, and I think for years, anybody in the know has talked about that as well, but to hear about it from a scientific perspective is interesting as well.
Yeah, it's there, and people can Google it. It's called the Journal on Sexuality and Gender, and it's the Atlantis Report, and it pops right up.
Is that some sort of conservative organization with an axe to grind, or what kind of organization?
Nope. You're talking doctors with John Hopkins, connected with John Hopkins.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And Johns Hopkins, there was a day when Johns Hopkins, I mean, back in the 80s or whatever, where they would literally do operations to try and change a person from one gender to another. They stopped doing that, by the way. But
yeah, they stopped doing that because they saw that it was harmful.
Yeah.
And in this same report, it reveals that transgendered people are 41% higher than the rate of just the population that is not LGBT or Q, so that people that are innately heterosexual, which we all are, but people that actually embrace that the transgender is 41% more likely to take their life.
Mm. You don't mean so, 41 you know, times, report, you mean 41% more likely.
Yes, 41% more likely. And so this report shows that there is a greater disproportional rate of people also in the LGBT community to be depressed, to have anxiety problems, to have substance abuse, and that they were 50 times more likely to be sexually abused.
Wow. Okay, so what's the balance between being faithful to God's word, which says that homosexuality is a sin, and yet loving the people who are caught in this?
Well, we have to understand that we're all fallen. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all have a propensity towards sin, and that these people actually need great compassion, because when you start looking at most of these people, they were sexually abused as children. They come from really broken homes. I'm not saying that all, but a lot of them. And they have now, you know, embraced dysfunction for years. And so they need a lot of compassion to undo and unthink a lot of places in their soul and mind that need healing. So the church really needs to have compassion, as we would more likely with someone that's coming out of that, as we would with someone dealing with drug addiction or other forms of sexual addiction.
Well, what are common forms or common causes, rather, of homosexuality?
As you'll see in the report, and also in my book, it's 50% or higher were sexually molested, and that's that number is actually dropped. It used to be higher. And I think the reason why the numbers have dropped is because of the culture norms have been lowered, and now we're telling even kindergartners they can try out, you know, this idea of being gay. And so the numbers have gone down, and yet we also see that a lot of times there is the labeling, the ridicule, actually kind of mentoring the mentality of a person who, a male like myself, who was more artistic and sensitive and emotional, to start receiving the labels, the bullying, that somehow that they're different. So we buy into the lie. And when you look at that, you look at temperament and perception and personalities. Those do play into it. Those are God-given, but not that God wants any human being to live in sexual dysfunction. What he would say is outside of the Imago Dei, the image of God, because we're image bearers, according to Genesis. And so when we look at that, we look at some of the root causes behind this, it just starts making sense. The breakdown of identifying with one's same-sex parent is very common, but you also have what I call 90% of the people that have sexual distortions, and this is actually increasing, where there's some kind of either sex talk or exhibitionism, voyeurism, pornography being introduced to children at an early age that causes confusion. And the science is already in about pornography. Pornography actually changes brain structure. How much more so is behavior and abuse?
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting. We are certainly opposed to any form of bullying, and yet I can't help but feel as if the gay lobby, if that's the right word to use, it has taken advantage of the opposition to bullying. And you'll even have, you know, public service announcements against bullying. But in reality, it's almost like a promotion of the gay and lesbian task force or something.
It really is, because what happens is that people like me and others that would either stand in opposition to this receive the bullying. And so they themselves become a bullying entity, as we see with the HRC and we see with the SPLC and some of these political organizations that are pushing these commercials on bullying. And nobody wants, you know, someone to be bullied. But you're right, there is then this underlying dialogue and narrative that says that people are gay and we need to embrace this as a culture.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I'm going to give your website again for the book, freedomrealized.org, written by Stephen Black. And again, the name of the book is Freedom Realized. How about a 15-second closing thought along these lines? Are you happy today that you are free versus how did you feel when you were in the gay lifestyle?
Well, I've had experience with Jesus Christ as Lord and the creator of the universe, and I have more joy and more foresight for eternity, and I am so excited about my life now.
But you didn't like it when you were gay?
No, I mean, you know, I had some fun being gay, you know, as sin can be pleasurable.
But between the two, but, you would take the Christian over the other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 35 years into walking with Jesus now, and my children, my grandchildren, and life in God, I love what God has given me.
All right. Thank you so much, Stephen, for being with us. God bless you and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.